session number 23339, reel 3.
Jeffrey Denny, reel 3. You said that the Ark Royal was a happy ship.
Yeah.
What do you think makes for a happy ship?
Partly the reputation we had for being unsinkable at the beginning of the war. I mean, everybody sort of treated it as a joke that we'd been sunk and everything like that. But the rest of it was that everybody had a job to do, and they enjoyed doing it, and as far as I could make out, there was no rigid discipline like there would have been on the battleships and that, with the gunnery and everything like that. I mean, it was a much more, well, I won't say happy-go-lucky, but it was a much more unstressed routine. Everybody was doing their job, and they got on, and they weren't chippy to do it or anything like that, and they were quite pleased to carry on, you know, as things were. Yeah. It was a comfortable ship, that was the great thing. I mean, everybody was dry and warm and well fed, whereas if you had been in a destroyer where they were everlastingly being wet, and the mess decks were a mess and washed with rubbish and everything like that, I mean, we were quite well looked after, and the officers were quite aware of what the job they were doing, and we had very little to do with the flying personnel officers, but the officers in the seaman branch, in the ship's gunnery and that sort of thing, I mean, I personally had very little to do with those things. In fact, any time it was their business to do the gunnery, and it was mine to see that I did my job on the flight deck. Yeah.
You mentioned discipline on board. Was that it didn't seem to be as rigid as on other ships?
Yeah.
Were there any discipline problems that you might remember?
The first real discipline job, I think, was we had a leading seaman who was masthead lookout, and he had to be right up on the top of the mast with his field glasses scanning right on the horizon, and he was when he went to sleep, which was a heinous crime as far as the Navy was concerned. And he was court-martialed, I mean, and that happened. We were in Freetown at the time, and I remember we had a court-martial on board. I mean, not that I got involved in it, but we knew that the quarterdeck was being used for a court-martial, and I think he was sent back to England, and 90 days in the glasshouse. Yeah.
How did that affect morale on board?
Well, it didn't make any difference as far as I was concerned. You know, the average person thought, well, you know, he shouldn't have been asleep, and he's got what he deserved. I mean, it wasn't an unjust punishment, and I mean, he was properly treated as far as being a defaulter was concerned. And occasionally we had one or two people in Gibraltar who came back on board a little bit over the top as far as liquor was concerned, you know, and they were held up as or hauled up before the commander for punishment, and that was, well, basically stoppage of leave. I mean, to come back on board with the after effects of the too much Spanish sherry on board in that. But otherwise, I mean, the only thing that you could be charged with was being out of not at your place of duty at the proper time. I mean, if you were late going on watch or anything like that, you got reprimanded, or depending on how bad it was. But basically, I mean, there was not a lot of problems with the ship's company. I mean,
was fighting ever a problem?
What?
Fighting.
Fighting? What, amongst yourselves?
Or ashore?
I don't think I ever heard a case of anybody fighting, but I think there were one or two cases where people had a disagreement, and the chief PTI lined them up with a pair of boxing gloves each, and they could knock the daylights out of each other if they wanted to, sort of business. But I don't think there was anybody ever wanted to fight. I mean, I got a job to do, and they were happy doing it, and hadn't got time to think about disorderly conduct then.
Can you tell me about the duties of the Ark Royal whilst you were aboard? What happened after you arrived at Scapa Flow?
Well, we went out onto the western approaches, which was out beyond the Hebrides, looking for, I think there was one of the German battleships was out, and we were looking for it, but she'd got out and she was far away, and that all culminated in the Battle of the River Plate in, I don't know, Christmas. No, I can't remember exactly when it was, but we were out flying long periods of time on reconnaissance. The aircraft were very busy, I mean, because they had a lot of flying to do, and the gunnery people had nothing to do because there was nothing to shoot at, but they found that they got plenty to do when we were up in the Norwegian campaign, because the German bombers were coming over, well, literally round the clock, and the guns crews just had to poop off at them.
What was it like being on board in those circumstances? Describe the scene.
Well, I mean, the gunners were all doing their gunnery and shooting. The engine room people were down in the engine room making sure that the ship's propulsion was all right, and the rest of us who've got nothing much else to do were at our action stations ready to respond if we got hit by bombs or anything like that. But although we were very narrowly missed on a lot of occasions, we weren't ever hit.
So you were on the flight deck during these attacks?
Well, no, actually we went down one deck below, because when the bombers were overhead, we couldn't fly at that precise moment. I mean, we sent the fighters off to attack them, but while the Germans were around, we just had to do nothing as far as the flight deck was concerned.
Any other memories of the Norwegian campaign?
No, we had some rather serious losses, because when the army was withdrawing from Narvik and those places there, two of our destroyers, the Argent and Goworm, I think, but anyway, a couple of those ships were escorting the Glorious back to Scapa Flow, and the German Scharnhorsten knives now interrupted them and literally blew the Glorious out of the water, and the two destroyers which were escorting them, I mean, they were badly, I believe they were both lost, but anyway, they certainly had a bad time of it. And we were not in sight of it, but I mean, we were within reasonable range of them, and so the next day the Admiralty thought, well, we'll try and avenge the Glorious, and they mustered all their skewer dive bombers, fighter dive bombers, and they had to attack the Scharnhorst, which had gone into Trondheim, which was the Germans had overrun Norway, and so they went in there, and our I think we sent off 16 skewer fighters with bombs on board to try and get a bit of own back on the Scharnhorst. But the trouble with that is that although we were operating from 50 miles off the Norwegian coast, to get into Trondheim, which was in the field, they had to fly over land in Norway, and that gave the Germans plenty of time to expect them and to be ready to attack them. And of course they had German fighter aerodromes there as well, and we sent off, I think it was either 15 or 16 of these skewers, and half of them were lost. You know, it was the worst thing that ever happened to the air flying people. I mean, they lost of them who crashed and that sort of thing, or ran out of fuel. But it was, no, it's all, I hope I'm not kicking anything. They did in fact hit the Scharnhorst, but only with two or three bombs out of the 16 that went off to attack them. And we came back to England, I believe, or Scotland after that. Yeah.
Being on the flight deck, were you aware of the progress of these operations as they were going on, or did you only find out what had happened after the...
Well, I mean, all we knew is that we'd seen the 15 fly off, and when they started coming back, there were only seven to camp, you know. I mean, that was, we knew that they'd had a rough time off it altogether.
And how did the ship's company react to that loss?
Well, the losses were mostly in the air crews. I won't say we didn't have much to do with them, but I mean, we weren't intimately involved with them. I mean, we knew who they were and that sort of thing, but it was just one of those things that, well, it was the fortune of the war as far as we were concerned. Yeah.
You said the Ark Royal went back to
Scapa
Flow after that.
Yeah.
What happened to her then?
Well, that was about the time of, well, the spring of 1940, May and June of 1940, and about that time it was the Dunkirk business. We didn't get involved in that because there was nothing we could do, and I think we came into Portsmouth for a few days' leave each watch, but then we went off and were given the job of going out to the Gibraltar and the Mediterranean to train some air crew, because there was no war in the Mediterranean in those days. The Italians hadn't come into the war, and we went into Gibraltar, then into Malta, and then along to Alexandria with flying with inexperienced air crew, and I suppose we were, well, we're only in Alexandria, I believe, for about a couple of days, and then we were recalled to go out and search for the Graff's Bay in the Atlantic, and we came back out in from the Mediterranean out into the South Atlantic, and we had long hours and days of searching for a proverbial needle in a haystack. I mean, it's an enormous expanse of water. I mean, and we didn't know where anything was, and the Graff's Bay, if she sank a merchant ship which was out there, I mean, as soon as she'd done that, she scuttled off out of the way, and as soon as we went to the spot where the sinking had taken place, it, you know, there was nothing to see and no sign of the Graff's Bay.
So it was a question of Swordfish going on reconnaissance flights trying to find it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, but hours and hours of monotonous flying with nothing to see, you know, and it must have been very monotonous for that. And it's only a small plane with one engine. I mean, and if that had conked, I mean, they'd have been miles from anywhere or anybody or any sign of help. And well, I won't say it didn't happen, but it was very occasionally that we lost anybody like that.
Were there any accidents on board when planes were coming into land or taking off?
We had one aircraft. It was while we were out in the Mediterranean, and the Swordfish had went to bomb one of the small air drones on Corsica or Sardinia or somewhere there, and they'd all got bombs on. When I landed back on, there was one aircraft that got a bomb, which was only a small anti-personnel bomb, which had hooked up in the release of the bomb release, and when the aircraft came on and landed, he made a reasonable landing, but it was sufficient to vibration and jolt to release this bomb. It was only a small one, and it only had to fall from the height of the wing to the deck, and that went off, and that killed all three air crew, and one, two, I think about four of our flight deck people, they were killed. And the plane exploded with the petrol that was in the tank and the bomb that exploded it, and that was one of the most tragic accidents. And as a matter of fact, it was the people who were, when the plane landed, they rushed out to grab the wings and steady it, and I was one of two people, a chap called Gordon Swan, who came from Edinburgh. He went out, and it was his turn to go and grab the thing, and he was killed outright by the bomb, you know, and it might have been me.
After the Ark Royal's attempt to locate the Graff's Bay, what happened after that? Where did she go?
We came back to England eventually. We escorted the Exeter and the Exeter and the Ajax, that's right. Because they'd both been hit by the in the Battle of the River Plate, but we weren't there at the time. I mean, we were in Rio de Janeiro just before the Battle of the River Plate, and we went in there just to oil them to come out again, and we were rushing down to be off Montevideo, and you know, the battle had already happened, and there was nothing we could do about it except to escort the two damaged cruisers part the way back to England.
What happened after that?
Well, by that time the Italians were in the war, and we were located in Gibraltar, and escorting the Malta convoys. I mean, they were a little bit exciting at one time or another.
Tell me about that.
Well, we used to have the, well, at least there was a convoy of merchant ships came out from the UK with supplies and whatnot for Malta and for the other end of the Mediterranean. And they, we knew when they were coming, and as and when they came through the Straits of Gibraltar, we went out and escorted them, you know, protected them for the first 3 days, I suppose it was, until we got out to level with as far as we could go, and left them to carry on to Malta from there with a escort of destroyers. And then we turned around and came back, but I mean, they were, as soon as we were out in the Mediterranean, the enemy knew where we were, because Spain was not in the war, she was neutral, and so she had a consulate in Algeciras, which is just across the bay from Gibraltar, and there was one bloke there with a telescope, and he got his he got it trained on the entrance to Gibraltar, and you know, the moment the fleet went out, he told his bosses in Madrid or whatnot, who told Hitler that we were on our way out, sort of business, and so we never got away with it. I mean, able to report to depart even in the night time. I mean, there were always Spanish trawlers who happened to be out in the Strait of Gibraltar. I mean, they were just there just for the sake of, not so much for fishing, but to keep an eye on what the Navy was doing at that time.
Did the convoys come under attack in those circumstances?
Did what?
The convoys came under attack.
Yeah, well, and we were out for the second and third days, I suppose, but when it got close, when they got close to Malta, that's where the Germans had got the aircraft in Sicily and along there, and they gave them a pretty hard time. I mean, we had the Italians bombing us, but not to, well, I suppose it was a bit dangerous, but I mean, we, you know, we never really got anything bad. I've got some books there with some photos of the of us being bombed in there.
Can you put a date on that time when you were escorting convoys out of Gibraltar?
It could have been early 1941, I suppose. And the other thing that we did was we ferried hurricanes which had come out from England on the Furious and Argus, which were old carriers, and they transferred them to us in Gibraltar with their own maintenance people and their own RAF hurricane pilots, you know, and we used to go out and on the third morning, I think it probably was, the hurricanes used to fly off Ark Royal to Malta, and the majority of them used to get there all right, but while we got out of the hurricanes on the flight deck, we couldn't do any flying of our own, you see, but as soon as we got rid of the hurricanes, we went and bombed the Italians in Sicily or something like that, just to keep them quiet for a little while.
The Ark Royal was involved in the events which led up to the sinking of the Bismarck.
Bismarck, yeah.
Can you tell me about that?
Well,
actually, probably. Jeffrey Denny Real. Yeah.